snack. We're back for another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast, hanging out in the garage. My name is Zach, working here with my best friend.
I'm Chad Higgins.
Hey, buddy. Today, I have something I wanted to talk to you about. I'm worried. I don't think you're organized.
Me?
Yeah.
Wow.
just want to level that right at you.
Before we get there, did you make my chair lower than your chair?
Mm-hmm. Power move.
Okay. You feel that about me?
I don't think it's actually true, but it is the thing that we do want to talk about today.
Yeah, because I would say there are probably some things that I can obviously be more organized in, but as a whole, like, I'm pretty organized.
You take care of business. You take care of business.
And I would say that that's a thing that I enjoy doing as well.
Well, but it's also the thing that we want to talk about today. I think a lot of folks get that leveled at them for a lot of reasons.
So people hear that? That's probably the, like, cutting comment that some youth pastors, like parents would make, or senior pastor would make. It's like, you need to work on some organization.
I think it's the backhanded, like, compliment or slap of, like, man, he's so good with the kids, but he's not organized. Ooh. Or, like, you know, she's a great leader. She's not organized.
Yeah.
It's like this way of, like, trying to cut your legs without, like, and usually the thing is, and this is the thing that we want to get into, usually it's really one specific thing. And it may not be across the board, but it's one perceivable, discernible thing. Like, either it shows up in a place, like it's a messy office or a messy youth room, or it's, you know, it's last minute emails, or it's like backlogged receipts. Like, it's not usually all of it, but there's like one thing that they just kind of lump all those things into. And I think a lot of it could be avoidable, or at least like you could navigate or like kind of outsource some of it. But I think for so many folks, like, it gets leveled at us when they don't know exactly how to say what they mean. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing we're going to talk about.
Okay, so when guys or girls hear that,
yeah,
what do you think are some of the things that people would be pointing at?
I think is there's some place where they've seen you at work where your workspace
is messy.
Appears messy. Usually it's the office, especially we hear this a lot into summer, like post camp, like not everything's put back away in August after July. It maybe got put away in like September, October. Like, things were maybe stacked up, but they're stacked up pretty high in the office. Like, whether it's boxes or it's the t-shirts, it's the leftover pool noodles, and like it's the half eaten like jug of Cheeto Puffs or whatever. And so I think there's just some of those, like, there's like a remnant, or it's like the youth room, or it's like that closet in the youth room. There's always that one closet that's like, hey, yo, or whatever. And so it, like, it's not affecting ministry, but maybe it's affecting the perception of like keeping your stuff organized together. Mm-hmm. Or it's some kind of internal mechanism of last one to submit stuff to the email newsletter, or it's like last person to turn in this month's receipts or whatever.
Well, and I think that's a thing too. And I even see a lot of people joke about like the turning in the receipts and stuff like that.
You know, I'll get to it eventually.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that that's one of those like black eyes that youth pastors get, like even when like joking about it, that I think is important to realize, like, you're getting made fun of, like in our professions, getting made fun of.
Yeah.
When it is something
that kind of becomes a joke.
You're a joke, man. And I think that we need to realize that and own that in a little bit of going, okay, we want to fight against that perception.
Yeah.
But even like beyond perception, I think that being organized and you may not, there may be people that are listening that are like, man, that has just never been me.
Sure. But it's been somebody that was enough to become the thing that was half true.
Well, and I think that there's ways that organization where you may not be the like, you know, all your pencils are lined up in the same direction, but you can still function in a way that doesn't create a distraction or a hurdle for other people to like deal with.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times people that aren't organized think about organization as only benefit or affecting themselves. Mm. And I think it's actually the opposite, that when organization becomes a problem is when it goes beyond just affecting ourselves,
yeah,
and start affecting the other people around us. That
the organization affects the organization.
Correct. Yeah. And it's like your lack of planning has caused like a lack of attendance because people don't know about it, right, and soon enough, or the event doesn't fire really well because
or you created stress on somebody else, yeah, because we wanted to send the email newsletter Thursday and you didn't get it until Thursday morning. Yeah. And so now it's going to be Thursday afternoon.
Well, yeah. So here's one thing that I don't hear talked about enough that I think is really true. A lack of good organization actually causes a lack of good leadership, mm, because when you're not organized, you can't delegate or hand off things.
Yeah.
And you're creating no space for other people to engage.
Yeah.
And so like even for adult leaders that would be, maybe they're not super excited about being in student ministry, but they're like, oh, I would help.
Yeah.
But if you're not organized, you have no place to really put them or reason why you would put them anywhere.
Right.
And so there's no place for them to lead. And you're like frantically running around trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Because it's last minute.
Yeah.
And that's why you feel overwhelmed. And because of that, your next thing's not organized and it's cluttered and all those kind of things because you're constantly playing catch up.
Well, so the best example I can give of just a simple way to flip the script on it is when you send out your lesson material for your small group leaders. I was the guy for a number of years that would always send it closer to the weekend to get ready because I'm like, they're not going to look at it until Friday or Saturday anyway. I'll just send it Thursday after the Wednesday. And maybe that's okay, but I wonder at how many levels I denied them the opportunity to look at it earlier,
well,
because they never got it earlier. Sending it on a Monday instead of, yep, a Thursday, and then sending a reminder on Thursday might have broke open some bandwidth, right, for somebody else.
Well, what you did is you created an atmosphere that met the needs of your lowest common denominator. And so you actually built a structure that
lowered the expectation.
That lowered the expectation, which anybody that's like a high caliber that would come in,
yeah,
that would actually need that
or want that,
can't, yeah, have it.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, wow, that's going to bring stress to my life.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to serve.
Yeah. Or it's less fun to serve. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause it's always like, oh, well, I have to look at it this weekend, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk a little bit though. So we're going to spend a few weeks of the podcast talking about organization. And so Chad, you shared some things with us and I think it's a new fall year. So whether the title of you're not organized or you are organized hits you or doesn't hit you, I think we've got a couple episodes that we wanted to share that would help line out maybe some ways in which this fall could be a fresh start for a lot of our folks that are looking for a fresh start that way.
So this is not on our list, so we're not starting very organized.
Okay. We had a list, and so we're going to start.
We do have a list.
So item zero on the list.
But it's something that I just thought about in my head.
New business.
That I know is very true for myself, okay, in all of these. Is to get on top of any of this stuff that we're about to talk about, it really does start with a better us.
Okay.
And we've talked about this in many episodes before, like always an indicator for you of where I'm at is, yeah, how messy is my truck?
Oh, 100%. We're about to go to lunch today. And I'm going to know after everything that you've shared today about organization, if the proof is in the pudding, when I hop in the cab of your truck and I look at the floorboard. So we got a little, we need to go make a little pit stop before we go.
No. My God.
Did you come ready today?
I'm excited for you to look at the
All track. Right. Yeah. We are starting off right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cheers to you, my friend. Yeah. Yeah.
No, man. But I think that for us, and it goes back to what I just said, like when we're stressed out, we often are just trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And so what I would identify for anybody that's trying to implement these kind of things is don't immediately jump in the work that's in front of you. Mm-hmm. Jump in the work that's on yourself.
Okay. Before you fix everybody. This is the oxygen mask, yeah, right? Like pull down, put on you before you put it on, yeah, those that are leading. Yeah.
Well, and know this, to get ahead in these areas, there's going to have to be a season where you neglect things.
Okay.
And that's hard for some.
Intentional neglect.
There are things that we have to understand are less important for us to do in the now,
okay,
to get in a place to do them well in the future.
Okay.
And that's just the reality. Like you can't, there's no pause button on ministry, right? Mm. Now, some of us get the great benefit that your church has been able to, like, well, hey, we're going to pause.
We're going to take Wednesday some midweeks night, off, yeah, for a month or whatever.
For the summer, the beginning of the year.
But Sunday's always coming.
Correct.
There's always another Sunday. Yeah. It's funny how that works out. Yeah.
And so there are some things that we can't put pause on, but there are things that it's like, okay, we don't have to try to take ground right now because, yeah, we realize that, man, we are in an organization and build phase,
yeah,
that has to happen for us to get in a place to really knock it out of the park. Good. It is that, like, sharpening the axe mentality.
Yeah. Well, sometimes sharpening the axe doesn't actually mean the thing you're about to cut in somebody else. It, yeah, may be the edits you make in your own life.
Big time, so, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I would say that be aware that when we're doing this process, try to eat better, exercise, wake up, sleep, all those kind of things, because it really will help you in a lot of these. Yeah. And go clean out your truck.
Yeah. There is, so in all the staffs I've served on, the best mentors have always checked in, not just with the workload of, like, hey, because ministry is often very relational, very mental, emotional, spiritual, but had several mentors that always made sure to ask, like, what are some of the, like, physical task you've done. Like, there's something that grounds you about cleaning out your truck or getting your desk right. We'll talk about, I think, in a future episode, just your office itself. It's not about getting those things right. Like, there's something about a clean workspace or a clean vehicle. I know that sounds like dad wisdom, but there really is, before you're like, Papa work and thank you, but, like, truly, something about when you hop in a car that's put together and clean and you sit down at a desk that's not like the stacks of commentaries are about to fall on top of your laptop, mm-hmm, that your mind is clean and focused and ready. And I think focus is ultimately what we're working for in organization. It's not just because it is good, but it's good for you. I think that's one of the things, that there is a payoff for you, both selfishly and as a leader, for both the capacity and the clarity that you can provide. Yeah.
Well, and I think that it goes into, it's teaching this bigger, like, narrative and lesson of people walking in your space, specifically when we're talking about, like, the church areas and things like that, right? Like, if we have students, which we all do, that are dealing with, like, stress and anxiety and those kind of things, we have to start realizing that our environment plays into those kind of things. And so when they're coming to engage with God and the space that they identify with that is cluttered and messy,
yeah,
and gross,
yeah,
like, those have subconscious, like, messages to, yeah, them. And so I think that we've got to take care of those kind of spaces and making them beautiful. And, mm-hmm, I think that that's really useful in multiple different ways. And not just this, like, gross engagingness,
yeah,
but this, like, opportunity to teach and create a space that's and welcoming. Okay, so first thing that I would say.
First thing first.
The idea of becoming more organized is I want us to back up and take that, like, 60,000 foot view,
okay,
and realize that we've got to get out of the mindset of day to day and week to week, and,
okay,
we have to start looking at the bigger picture. And I would say this, and what I've known at working at everything from a student ministry of, you know, 40 to 400,
yeah,
like, the bigger that scale gets, the, yeah, bigger your view has to get.
Must get. Like, truly, like, and I think that probably is even tied to the growth you desire.
Correct.
Is the ability to take a longer, broader view.
Yes.
I think we've talked about this before. Like, if your goal is just to do better this Wednesday than last Wednesday, then you are on a roller coaster that has no end in sight.
Yeah.
You have to see the whole track for what we're trying to get to.
Well, and I even think that this is, goes beyond organization, but maybe it doesn't. Like organization and people speaking, it's why when you're functioning week to week, so many of these guys are teaching like ineffective like messages because they're trying to pack in everything and they feel like they've got to communicate everything about the story that they're communicating and talking about in the passage, that they're like chasing rabbits every once in a while, you know, all, every little different like doctrinal rabbit, because they feel like, well, we've got to teach all the kids everything because you're just thinking about the week and week instead of this bigger picture.
If so, I don't say it now, they'll never hear it.
Right. Yeah. To realize that, okay, your teaching, your series are not a one-off,
right,
but it's a bigger view of where are we going?
Yeah.
You have these kids for 7 years and we're trying to get to an end goal there.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So what are some of the places you, for folks that maybe feel a little bit buried up, we just got done with a busy season and we're like, man, I'm just trying to get ready for this Sunday. What are some of the intentional neglects that you would give them permission to have this week, next week, to peel back a little bit, to kind of start to gather that view? Because that's not an automatic function for a lot of people. Like that's a thing you have to, I think, practice, maybe even discipline and carve out not 15 minutes, but a few hours for. Like that, I think this is like a, I need the better part of a Thursday or a Monday to really do what you're talking about. This is not like, I'll get it done before staff meeting next week. Right. Like this is a, hey guys, turning my phone off for a Thursday afternoon because I'm carving out some big picture time.
Yes.
Some porch time, to use another friend's metaphor.
So I think that some of our like ongoing like meeting, you know, meeting with people, going to events, that kind of stuff probably gets a little bit neglected during this time. Okay. It's like, okay, we can't make all of those.
We're going to deschedule some coffees.
We're going to deschedule some coffees, those kind of things, because we've got to begin to like work on those kind of things.
This is your appointment with yourself to develop you as a leader.
Yeah. And so the where I would start, and one of the big reasons why I wanted to do this series right now is because for a lot of churches, they'll have a new calendar season at the beginning of every year or the fall. And so right now, if your budget year starts at the beginning of the year, I think right now is a great time to begin to plan for 2024.
Yeah.
And to begin to think through like, okay, what is my schedule? So the first thing that I would do is I would sit down with a calendar, and I would start to lay out all of my big events, starting with our biggest attended events.
Okay. So look back at this year. What were the events or the weeks that were high high density? So whether that's camp or Easter or
So
winter weekend.
Or I would probably start with camp for myself. Depending on flexibility there, some places are like, it's always going to be the same week. And so this is easy.
It's you may be locked in. It's always the third week in June. It's congratulations.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's a case in point in that, right? You already know that.
Yeah.
Why is that secret information?
Right. Put it out there. Yeah.
Put it out there. If you can give families, it may not be all of the things that you're going to do.
But the heavy hitters for the summer,
the most important things that you want them at. If you can identify, if you could say, these are the three events that I want every one of our students at, then those are events that need to be given to them. It may not be the full-blown promotion of them.
Right. On the website, sent in the newsletter, like tag it at the bottom. Like it's just always there. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, parents, we already know the date for camp. Yeah. Just letting you know. That can be one email that's super simple. And the thing is, we get it. Most of our families aren't going to think about it until a few months out.
Right.
They're not really going to start planning. But you have a few of those families.
Yeah. Again, raising the expectation bar. Not the lowest common denominator. We're going to try to increase. We're raising the tide, raising the water. Yeah.
So we can start identifying them. We put them in place. The next thing I would start to do once those big events are in place is I want to start thinking about, okay, how did what are these chain?
Okay.
All right, we do.
So you're dropping anchor on these big events, but what's the chain that ties them together?
Yeah, so I may think through, all right, I've got camp in July, okay?
Great time to go to camp.
It's a great time. It's hot. we're going to go to.
Can we have a time where we just have October camp?
Yeah.
I mean, fall break camp, Well, 2 days or less, dude, 30 degrees cooler.
Here's the deal. Help me with this petition. I don't know who we need to sign it. I want quote unquote summer break to happen in the spring.
Oh, okay.
Why are we not getting, why are kids not out?
When it's nice.
When the best time of
the
year.
Right, right. We have AC.
Yes, we're not farming anymore.
But the children. Yeah, why are the best weather months are we putting kids indoors?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do we not have spring off?
Yeah. Like, let's just work all through December and then all through summer and then just take off October, November, and March, April. There you go. 4 months off. Yes, fantastic. Instead of a 12-week summer, let's have a 2 10-week spring and fall.
We just figured out. We just figured out the education system.
Solved it.
See, that's what organization does for you. Okay, so what I'm going to do?
It'll never pass.
I'm going to take something like summer camp.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to know my goals.
Okay.
And I'm going to know the biggest reason why we have those events.
Okay.
We don't.
That's
just
an important piece.
It's a huge piece.
It's not just this is the biggest date on the calendar. There's also the biggest why. Yes. The goal is not just the when, but the why.
And the biggest reason for that, when you get out of thinking about the week to week, you start looking at discipleship and teaching at a broader sense and opportunities to enter your ministry in different ways. I know that without a doubt, one of the biggest entries to my ministries over the year was summer camp of meeting new kids.
5 days cooking together.
Yep.
Like literally cooking meals and cooking in the heat. Yep. Yeah.
We can build relationship really well over that time. It's also an easy entry for kids to invite their friends.
Yeah.
And so the number of brand new students that would show up for an entire week. Okay, so what do I want to have happen out of a big event, right? I want to be able to plug those kids into community because I know that that is sticky into them getting connected to our ministry, all those kind of things. So I want to immediately begin to think, if I have new students walking in summer camp, what is happening in August, okay?
Mm, yeah.
Then I want to do a big small group push in August.
Yeah.
I may put a mini kind of event of a big sign up that's going to happen here. And so I start pinning it. Boom, that Sunday, we're going to launch new groups, right?
Right.
Or we're going to do some group connection event.
We actually, the last few years at the church here in Tulsa, for our high school students that had midweek home groups that were elective because they were more like geography based than they were necessarily grade based. Like if you were in high school, we would have our home groups that would meet in various parts of Tulsa. So for anybody in a larger kind of sprawling city, it's helpful sometimes. We had folks come in from all over. It was at camp they would decide which home group they would be in with all of their buddies, right? So we're having seniors, juniors, sophomores, freshmen sign up for the group they want at camp. So it becomes this like the energy is already there. So when the groups launch at the end of August, it was in July that they were like, oh yeah, we're all going to be at Tammy's house. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. And so you begin to start thinking about that. Maybe that's this midway point between Disciple Now or whatever you're doing next, right? Whatever that next big event that we want to do. So we want to make little chain links between each of them. And that may not be events. It may be teaching series.
Yep.
Right? And so out of, okay, we've got new students at camp. We're trying to get them connected by August 23rd or whatever into a small group. And so we're working as a team. Okay, who are all of our kids? Who are kids that haven't been coming to group that came to camp? All right, we want to make intentional phone calls. We're going to plan out sending letters, those kind of things. We're going to get hyped. We know that we've got to start recruiting leaders. So we've got another thread that we're doing during that time period. And so we're thinking through things in seasons.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a recruiting season for us. It's a connection
season
for
community
us.
Building, yep.
Okay, now we're out of that. Where are we going? We've got them in small groups. Now we want to start talking about like personal discipleship, right?
How are we growing? You're connected, but how are you growing?
Yeah, so you may go, all right, so September, what we want to do is we want to have a 5 week series over
spiritual disciplines,
right?
How to pray, how to read your Bible.
Boom, boom, boom. And we start to put those up. We know, right, that we don't want to just talk about it, but we want to actually put resources in their hands. We're going to talk about scripture reading on week one, which means, hey, we've got to start thinking of a reading plan, journal, those kind of things. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if the Wednesday that we talk about journaling, the kids could pick up journals on their way out, right? And so we're going to make
– provide the journal. Yeah.
And so you
– not rocket science, but just forethought.
Yeah.
Forethought.
So here's the deal. What I want you to see in this 60,000-foot view, you are understanding the why – you're trying to connect them, but you're not getting in the weeds yet, okay? You don't have to write that talk yet.
Yeah.
You don't have to figure that game yet.
Just top level. This month, spiritual disciplines.
This month, spiritual
prayer, discipline. Reading boom, boom, scripture, boom. Asking for help. Done. Yeah. And let it cook. Let it be there.
What's my one – and you can get – maybe at this point you're starting to get into, are there things that I'm going to have to buy?
Yeah.
Are there things that I have to get extra leaders?
Is there a cool feature thing? Like, what is the thing that helps to enrich the thing?
Yeah.
You don't have to have the journals yet, but you have to know that we're going to buy the journals. Man, maybe if even thinking about it early enough now, we could maybe customize them.
Yep.
Kind of make them their own kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep. And so all of that kind of stuff is leveling up. And we'll get to some more organizational tips that's going to help you in the future. But because here's what I want you to understand. If this is brand new to you, this is going to 100% feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
You're going to have to feel like you are recreating the wheel. The great thing that we'll talk about later, or maybe we even get into it now. No, I'm going to drop it now.
Let's do it now.
The thing that I want you to understand is this. Stop making one-offs and start making templates.
Okay.
And all of these kind of things, there are the rhythms to student ministry that happen every single year.
It's this, we've talked about this a lot, Ethan, some different conference sessions. One of the things that's been heavy on my heart is that we're using all the wrong imagery. I need youth ministers to be more comfortable with the seasons of ministry than just some of the business growth metrics. Like, at some level, ministry is far more like gardening than it is like business growth models.
Yeah.
Because students come and students go. Like, the thing that students always do is get older, and we got to stop acting surprised that like a big class graduated and then a smaller class came in. Like, that's the waves, that's the tides, that's the seasons of it. And getting comfortable with knowing that, like, hey, you know, our ministry's in a younger stage right now, so we're gonna adjust for it. Like, you can't force the growth. You cultivate it and nurture it. And so don't be surprised when every May when you graduate seniors. It happens every year, and whether it's 220 or 200, like, that happens every year. So stop being surprised by the things you knew were going to happen, and anticipate and plan and cultivate.
Well, and here would be the thing that I would add. If you're doing one-offs on things that are going to be the same, you are doing so much work every year that is the exact same. Let's take graduation Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to happen every May.
And you're going to write an email to all of those parents.
Yeah.
Right? Asking for the
information.
Same thing that you do every year.
Yeah.
We need 6 photos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a senior picture and 5 others of your daughter or son. Please send them to youthpastor@firstchurch.org.
Yeah. And there are people that are writing that
fresh same, every year,
every same year. And the reality is, because they're just writing it in the email, and they're hitting send, and now you've got 9,000 other emails that you can't find it, instead of writing it in a Word document,
save it in the Google folder,
putting it and we may go into this in another episode, but there's part of that organization structure that can happen on your laptop that's really, really useful of creating folders that is graduation Sunday, and then you have all of your elements
templates
in there.
Yeah.
And then every year you can update it. Boom, boom.
Tweak it, share it,
all that kind of stuff. That's exactly where all those photos are going to go, all that kind of stuff.
You should be getting every year, and one of the things that we argue for a lot is longevity. One of the benefits of longevity is this should be getting easier.
Yep.
Like, if I can take an aside and just say, like, if you've been somewhere for 4, 5, 7 years and you don't have more bandwidth now than when you first started, my friend, you need these next 2 weeks to clear the clutter and lay out the big plan. Like, if you are still feeling like sideswiped and blindsided by the things that you can control and delegate, then you've got to put the things in place for your own health, for your own clarity, for your own focus.
Yep. So the big thing, once we've come up with this big plan of big events, remember, you're not trying to do everything.
Yeah. You don't have to the camp theme yet. Right. Just the dates. Just the dates, location. Yeah. That's it.
And that's another big thing, too, in even thinking through, like, how we title and label things.
Yeah.
Right? So a big change for us, we used to do our own summer camp.
Okay.
Okay. And obviously, you have, like, a theme for that camp and all that kind of stuff. If you're trying to roll out theme a year in advance, that becomes really hard.
That's difficult.
But if you brand your summer camp,
just camp,
then it's just camp, or just it's big camp, become or whatever camp. Yeah. You want to call it.
Yeah, then you can have you can still do themes,
right?
But the emphasis is camp and the date, and not just the wow of like, guys, it's going to be this. Like, get it to the folks. Like, they know what camp is. The theme can come later. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The other thing too is as you build out your plan, the other calendar that you need to have along with that is your communication plan.
Okay.
Specifically, the bigger the thing is, the more lead time you're going to give people.
Yeah.
And it may not necessarily be big in attendance. It may be big in cost.
Okay.
So, yeah, you may take a ton of students to summer camp, but 2 weeks later, you know that you have the mission trip.
And that's pretty expensive.
That actually costs $2,000.
Right, right. Not for everybody, but if you want everybody at camp and you want a lot of kids at mission trip, you aren't asking for $300 or $400 for camp. You're asking for $3,000 because you want them at mission trip and camp. And if you don't tell them early enough, if they're having to make choices,
right,
That's hard on them, not you. Give them enough time that they can plan and do. And again, a lot of folks do, but I think, again, thinking about the menu of things that you're offering really matters.
Well, so one of the things that we did in that, because we knew that those were high ticket items, is we broke it up in a 7-year cycle for us.
Okay.
That we wanted by the time that every kid, we brought kids in sixth grade. So our goal was by the time kids hit seventh grade,
okay,
we wanted them to do a local service project.
Okay.
By the time they got out of middle school, we wanted them to do a state trip where we would go somewhere
new. Serve. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes those went out of our state, but it was
kind of a regional. Local. Yeah.
By the time they hit 10th grade, we wanted them to take a national trip.
Okay.
And by the time that they graduated, we wanted them to go on an international trip. And so we internally, those were benchmarks for us that we were able to look at, okay, of our 8th graders, how many of them have actually served on one of these, you know, trips to Oklahoma City or Dallas, right? And we were able to break it down there. We were able to have metrics of how we were doing in that. But you're in doing that, when you communicate that to your folks as well, the expectation, then you can actually, even though they don't know where they're going yet in high school, families can start planning, even when their kid's in eighth grade, hey, we want our kid to go on an international mission trip over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And we can begin to financially plan for that.
Yeah.
And so they hear the expectation. They know that every year our high school,
there's going to be other opportunities, and this is what's coming down the pipe. Yep.
And so they may not get to go year one or year two, but for some families, we need to be aware that for some families, and these are big asks, and we shouldn't pretend like they're not.
Right.
For some families to save up $2,500.
Send their kid for 10 days somewhere.
That's a huge, big ask.
Yeah.
And so we want to respect that. We want them to know. They may not know the exact date, but every year in July we do this.
Yeah.
And the year before, we're going to lay out, here's the exact plan and trip and all those kind of things, and allows them to start to get planned. And if you can get 2 years out,
Oh, yeah.
On those big, hey, yeah, in 2025, we're going to Israel or whatever.
Right, right.
Then you can start to build excitement for those kind of things. Yeah. And
again, you may not have the itinerary, but you know in July of 25, yep, we're going to go here. It's going to be an approximate cost of, especially again, longevity. If you're fostering relationships with certain missions organizations or people that you're working with, you know that you could have those in cycles. Like, hey, yep, we have an Africa mission trip every 3 years. We're working with this family. They're wonderful. And that's just something that our church is doing in a rhythm of every 3 years. Yeah. And we would love your high school student to pick one of those and come with us.
Yep.
So, okay. So in review, so this is part one of organization, the big plan, establishing the goals of when and of why, and templating as much as we can when we can to move forward to create more bandwidth so that we can do some of the other relational ministerial work of the week to week. Take the time this week and next to clear the space, to clear your desk, to get a big, broad view of what this next year will bring. So any closing wisdom before we shut it down today?
Make sure to come back.
All right. Come back for part two next week.